Joining me on the New Year edition of Our Town is a person that wears many hats. Megan Messmer is here. She's our assistant city manager. She is also the chairperson for the Western Lane Emergency Operations Group. How are you doing?
Good, thank you.
Good. It's always good to get to talk to you. And when we have a little more time, it's not so rushed as the when you sit in for Aaron sometimes.
Yes.
But I wanted to bring you and talk about the Western Lane Emergency Operations Group because it's been a while since we've kind of gone over what it is that they do or what is it you and your group do for the community. Let's start with what is your base mission with the Western Lane Emergency Operations Group?
Yes, so you often hear it called WELOG, so that stands for the West Lane Emergency Operations Group. We are an intergovernmental agency, so we have an agreement between seven entities to coordinate on emergency preparedness and response for West Lane County. Our seven main board member agencies include the City of Florence, Dune City, Sayusa Valley Fire and Rescue, Western Lane Ambulance District, which those two are now the West Lane Fire and EMS Authority, but they're two taxing districts, Peace Health, Peace Harbor Medical Center, the Port of Sayusla, and then the Police Department for the Confederated Tribes here. So those seven entities have agreed to come together. We know we are in a really big county, and we have several infrastructure pieces that separate us from our county seat in Eugene and our county officials. We have tunnels and bridges and rivers that could cut us off from those emergency responders during a big natural disaster. So we've come together to coordinate our response efforts and in turn our preparedness efforts as well. So we have a coordinated emergency operations plan that we operate off of. We developed it as a group. We meet monthly as a board to discuss what we're working on and preparedness efforts. We also have a large group of associate members that participate and help us plan for our response. So that includes things like Lane County, but also our state departments, parks, Oregon State Parks, forestry, the U.S. Coast Guard is a member, the Red Cross, the school district, and many other both government and nonprofit organizations that help us come together.
Are you officially a government entity?
Yes. So we are formed by an intergovernmental agreement. So each one of our boards have passed this IGA, and we have a budget. We submit our audit to the state. But yes, we are an official government entity.
And your funding comes from those entities that bring you together, or does it come from the state?
No, it comes from our seven participating members. We all contribute membership dues. The City of Florence is that one tier, along with some of our other larger partners, and then there's different tiers for our dues structure. But we come together, and that's how we fund our operations. We do apply for some grants with Lane County. We have one that we were successful for that we will be updating our emergency operations plan in the coming year or so. But any funding is either through our dues or through grants that we apply for.
Is your group a part of any of the infrastructure that sets up the emergency command? Like I know the police have their radios that they do from the tower. And that, do you have like an inventory of things that you're responsible for?
Yes. So our main item is the tsunami sirens. So WELOG funds the tsunami sirens. We pay the monthly cost to have those operational, both for the wireless signals and electricity bills, and then anytime there needs to be maintenance. So WELOG funds that. It's quite costly for us, so we do work to save up for that. We just repaired one for about $30,000, and that took a big hit on our budget, but it was one that was needed to keep those operational.
Speaking of the tsunami sirens, I know that we talked about a little bit this on the Monday morning talk, mm-hmm. that we didn't have a tsunami siren when the earthquake went off in Northern California. Talk a little bit about how all that comes together and why we would or would not hear a siren specifically on a situation like that.
Yeah, so it's important to understand what our command structure is for West Lane County. For a general day-to-day type activity, a windstorm, we kind of deal with those as our own entities. Public Works takes care of debris cleanup and responding. The Central Lincoln PD takes care of getting power back on. And we can all kind of manage those in our own operational spheres that we operate in. For a larger disaster, when it takes a lot more coordination, we operate under a unified command structure. That's something we have all agreed upon. There is a unified command as opposed to one person in charge of the response. So that unified command makes or consists of the city manager, myself, the police chief, and the fire chief. And we work together to determine what the course of action will be for our response. So in the case for the tsunami sirens, that's something that we would determine when to set those off. Now, if it was earthquake where we could feel the ground shaking, we already know that if we can set those off, they will be set off because that is something we're
doing immediately. Imminent danger.
Yes. Yes. So the tsunami sirens are your last sign to evacuate. So and what happened in December, those weren't set off because we didn't really need you to evacuate. It wasn't impacting our area directly. And that tsunami siren going off would have been, you need to evacuate now. Now I say, if we can set those off during a localized earthquake Cascadia zone, that if is because they are operated by a person. So our dispatchers have that control switch. They have, it's on their monitors. It's on the computer to set those off. They're essentially large speakers with a tone that goes out. So if for some reason that console goes down, they don't have the ability to set those off, which is why we emphasize that people should sign up for other ways to get alerts if needed. But also if the ground is shaking, that's your notice. And remembering that people who set those off are also experiencing the disaster with you if it's that localized earthquake and tsunami. So there's always the human element there that we have to remember.
Well, I know, like you'll see on movies or TV when something like that goes happen, there's always that one person says, well, I'll go set it off manually. Is that a possibility or is
So no, that is not how they work. It's not a switch on the siren. It is essentially a big speaker system that sends out that tone, and it is operated from our consoles.
But I assume you have backups for that in case of, or is it
for the consoles?
Like for the console or something like that? Is there?
Yes, but there's a lot of infrastructure between us and the sirens. Right. So if the lines go down, we're subject to technology. One benefit of having other means to get notified, as I mentioned, we send out alerts. So lane alerts is how you can get notified for many things. We coordinate those messages that go out, but they can send those out from somewhere else, from anywhere. There's a computer connection. Lane County often is the one that sends those out for us, and they can do that from their areas in Eugene. The state can also work to send out those alerts as well. So somebody not experiencing our exact disaster can help us in getting notification out those ways as well.
Is WeLog responsible or a partner in, like, say when they have a big, I'm trying to think of what the word is for it now, but a scenario where an emergency would come up and they practice for it. Is that something that you?
Yes. So WeLog has in the past. It's on our list to do in the near term because we've had a lot of turnover in people. But we do participate in tabletop exercises. That's where we have a scenario and we kind of talk through it at a table. But we also do scenario planning where it may be a larger scale disaster drill. We do a lot of those in coordination with the hospital because they have some requirements to meet their accreditation needs. And when they do that, we often use that as a way to make the drill larger and to practice with other organizations. A recent one that happened, they worked with the port and the Coast Guard to drill a scenario on the water and what would happen if something happened on a vessel in the river. We've also done large-scale drills at the schools, what that might look like, where we have people actually playing the roles of, in both of those scenarios, people who get injured or where they had a car accident.
Is that every 15-minute event that happened, or is that different?
That's different. They do participate. So that was one of the drills that we had multi-agency coordination in. But we have done our own as well, where we're training both our responders on scene, but also people at the hospital and then testing our other roles, which include our emergency operations center. So the people who are working in the background to make sure we're getting the resources we need, coordination with other agencies, with the county, with the state, our communications coordination. So we're basically trying to train ourselves so that it comes more naturally and quickly during that scenario. I'm sure if anyone has ever called 911, I know when it's been the middle of an emergency, I look at my phone and I don't know how to work it. Like, that's a simple number. I know what the number is, but when you're in that headspace, you kind of forget things. So practicing it often helps us do that in more of a quick, we don't have to think about how do I dial these buttons and train our brains.
So you mentioned Chief Schick, Chief Pitcher, Aaron, and yourselves. But is the group larger than that? Are there volunteers? Are there more people that work within WELOG?
Yes. So that would be our unified command structure. So those are the like the top of our pyramid of working during an emergency. We operate under the emergency support function structure. So in our emergency operations center, we would have these different functions that are represented by our different entities. So it would be things like sheltering, food, EMS, fire, they all have their own support functions. So experts in those fields that do that work every day are the ones that would be responsible for the actual work based on the direction from the unified command. We also have our other employees that we've trained up who do the back end work on a day to day. So we have finance staff, we have logistics staff, and operations. So kind of the operations in the field, the logistics is the planning, what are we going to do next? And then the finance and internal is how are we paying for it? How are we tracking these resources? So there really is a role for all different people in our organization so that we can all come together during an emergency and work under the same structure that the county's working under, the state's working under, and the federal government. We all operate under the same structure.
So the line is, you don't know what you don't know. So what are some other things about WELOG that people might need to know or might help them understand the organization better and how it operates?
Yeah, we have a lot of great information. We had an intern through the RARE program, which is an AmeriCorps program. She worked with us over the past year to improve our communications effort. So she redid the WELOG website. It has a great amount of information on the website, but also links to amazing resources. So that's WELOG.org, WLEOG.org. And that is also linked on the city's website and in some of our partner agencies. So I would start there with some good information. Signing up for Lane Alerts. So that's our local alerting system in Lane County. You can do that at lanealerts.org. We also are part of a greater statewide alerting system. We all use the same platform in every county, and you can sign up for other counties too. And you can do that at oralert.gov, which is kind of linked at the top of the Lane Alerts website as well. So you can sign up for other counties, get that information. That is a good way to get real-time alerts, both that are automated through the National Weather Service and then alerts that we may send out based on our specific needs. When we talk about tsunamis, that is the big one that everybody thinks about. Knowing where to get those resources is important. They're linked on both the city website and the WELOG website. But knowing how to get to tsunami.gov and seeing any real-time tsunami earthquake notices that are current, and then knowing your where you are in town based on the inundation zone and the evacuation map. Most of Florence is in the green zone, so you don't need to evacuate. That is a question we get. We are lucky in that sense compared to a lot of our coastal partners up and down the Oregon coast, where most of their towns are in either the local tsunami zone or the distant tsunami zone evacuation areas. So we like that about Florence, but people need to know that. We often get questions, should they evacuate from the schools? Nope, that's right in the center of the green zone. We want to stay there if they're there. And then most of 101 in town is in that safer zone. Now, if the ground is shaking and it was an earthquake, you would need to assess where you are. Is your building safe to be in after an earthquake? But from a tsunami wave, most of town is outside of the inundation zone, which is great. And you can view those on the city's website. We have a link to those and on the WELOG website. We link to both the Florence maps and the Dune City maps. And then you can see the greater state of Oregon maps as well. to get that info.
Now, obviously, you mentioned the tsunami. That's the big one. But I imagine WELOG comes together for things like fire, forest fire, mm-hmm. flooding, stuff like that. Is that something also in your purview?
Yes. So any disaster that would take multi-agency coordination for a response. So when there was the fire up on Sweet Creek a few years ago outside of Mapleton, we came together and worked on that messaging and response with Lane County. We worked when Mapleton had their water issue. We worked together on that. We've worked together on windstorms and big rainstorm and ice events. So we plan for that big, huge disaster, but that will help us address anything smaller than that. It has also been a valuable experience during COVID, where we were having weekly meetings, frequent meetings to check in. We just never stopped that. So the fire chief, police chief, myself, and city manager all meet every other week just to update everyone on what's going on. And then we bring anybody else in that's needed for those meetings if there's something specific. So we do really try to coordinate at all levels, whether it's planning for a community event. What do we need to do? We use those as scenario planning and coordination to a larger event. Are we anticipating a big windstorm? And then also coordination on anything else that comes in between.
Is there a hierarchy amongst the entities that you work with? For example, Chief Schick, Chief Pitcher are out of pocket if something happens. I guess there's a second in command that would fill in for them in a situation like that?
Yeah, so each agency has their own hierarchy. So in the police department, we have the lieutenant and the sergeants, and they have a similar structure in fire and EMS. When it comes to disaster response, they have their core focus areas in police, fire, and EMS, and public works. They all are experts in what they do operationally. When it comes to disaster declarations and the type of regulatory or coordination with the county, that really is done at the city level, because cities are the ones that can declare the disaster, or counties or state. It's that that level of government. So our special districts don't declare the disaster. If it's something outside the city, they would work with the county to declare that. The county can declare it on our behalf. The state can declare it on our behalf. We've seen that with large scale disasters, like wildfires, where the state declares it. It's multi-county wide. But there is that type of hierarchy. It just is based on our regulatory ability. On a blue sky day, it still carries over in a disaster as well, and how we coordinate up the hierarchy of governments. But we do coordinate with that. It's in our emergency operation plan, what the process would be for if like the fire district needed to declare something, how they'd work with the city or the county, and then on up the chain as well.
Sounds like you got a lot of good information there, and appreciate you giving. Is there anything else that we didn't touch on that you'd like to share, or is that pretty much covered all?
Well, the only other thing is, what can the public do? So, as I mentioned, with a disaster, the people that we often look to may also be experiencing the disaster with us. We all have families, pets, neighbors that we're all worried about as well, on top of responding to the disaster. So what can we do as citizens to help take care of ourselves where we can and take care of those people around us? The state has a really good resource called Be 2 Weeks Ready, and it talks about how you can prepare yourself and your household for a disaster. It goes over things like, what's your food plan? What's your shelter plan? Water plan? Do you need medications? And really kind of a step-by-step guide to making sure you're not forgetting things. They also have some good resources on how to create that emergency supply. You often pull up a list of emergency food or medical supplies, household supplies, and it's really overwhelming. It's huge. When I look at it, I think, oh my gosh, how much money is this going to cost? But there's a really good breakdown of what you can do over 12 weeks to get yourself ready. And it may be changing your habits a little bit. Instead of keeping your cupboard stocked for this week, maybe it's further out. Maybe it's a couple weeks of canned goods in your cupboard. So you just have that and on rotation, and kind of has an easy guide to build up your stock for your go kits and your emergency supplies. That's linked on the city's website. I would really recommend people to go look at that and learn how to prepare yourselves, your pets. Don't forget those. People often will make choices based on how prepared they are with their pets. That's what they see in a lot of disasters. People won't leave their homes because what about either large animals or they can't take their animals with them. So we try to help people remember to prepare for them. And then also taking care of our neighbors. We all know the neighbor down the street who may be more internal. We don't see them as much. How do we make sure that they're taken care of and know what they need, and keeping that on the top of our mind? Because I may not know that your neighbor down the street doesn't have family that may be checking on them, but you might know that. So taking care of the people around us as well.
And again, 2-week minimum.
Yes.
You're in a major, earthquake. We don't know how long it's going to take for folks to get there. So.
Yeah.
All right. Megan Metzmer, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And that's our Town for this month of January and the year of 2025.